Well, before we get started, two things I want to mention. One is I apologize for the heat. We've got the side doors open, so we and want to keep our young man and the sound system in our prayers. He is still recovering from, sorry, Neil, I'm going to embarrass you. He is still recovering from a stroke, which was quite serious, and he has complications as getting back to normal. So let's keep Mr. Neil in our prayers. There is a statement attributed to a man from a few centuries ago, a priest, very possibly Francis of Assisi, as legend suggests, who gave some profound advice to his students. By inference to the statement, we may deduce that he was teaching at a seminar. His name remains anonymous. They think it was Francis of Assisi. But the statement lives on. And while I said that this is part two of today's message, it actually is. We did not communicate, didn't know what Mr. Goss was going to speak about, but I'm going to continue on the thread. He admonished his students, quote, preach often, use words if necessary. Preach often, use words if necessary. You know, you got to think that's a profound statement. Subtle in its simplicity, brilliant in its observation. It's what we do says more than what we say. What you're doing speaks louder than what you have told us. The inference is that they were to teach often and do so by example, using words if necessary to explain the reasoning behind their actions. Now, the word preach in the New Testament is so often tied to the explanation of the gospel, teaching and illuminating the good news of the coming kingdom of God. How important can that be? And the preaching is to be by example, literally. I know young people sometimes say everything is literal, but literally by what we say and what we do. There is coming a time for all of us when what we do will be analyzed against what we say, when what we say will be reviewed by what we do. There is a time coming when we will be giving an accounting for our calling, for our being here in the body of Christ, the church. Let's begin in Romans 10. Romans 10, if you'll join me there, please. Romans 10. Just before Romans 11. Romans 10, beginning in verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. When we believe in Jesus Christ, that is our foundation. That is our guide going forward. We will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How important it is when we are called that we accept that calling. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That phrase got to me. That phrase got to me. The calling requires a preacher. But you know, it's not just the ministry that's the preacher. Everyone here has the opportunity, through their example, what they say and what they do, to actually preach the coming kingdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Verse 15. First Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify, that is, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Make it a part of you. We dwell with Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. It's part of us. And always be ready to give a defense, an answer, to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. That means your example is going to be such that people are going to say, why do you do what you do? I know years ago there was a crisis and people asked me, why wasn't I concerned? I said, well, I kind of know the answer to life. They wanted to know why I wasn't as stressed as they were. Sometimes they're going to ask, why don't you keep Christmas? Why don't you keep Easter? Why do you go to this thing called the Feast of Tabernacles? And they're going to want to know your example. So we have to give an answer for the defense of what we do and what we say. That it's that important. Not every minister is the preacher here, but members of the body of Jesus Christ become the preacher through their example. People notice what you do and what you say. Albert Schweitzer, I wouldn't expect a lot of people to remember him from the 1950s. Albert Schweitzer, the turn of the last century philosopher, humanitarian, scientist, theologian, writer, and founder of the hospital in Gabon, West Central Africa, winner of the 1952 Nobel Peace Prize for philosophy, his philosophy of reverence of life, he wrote, quote, "Example is not the main thing in influencing people. It is the only thing." He also stated, example is leadership. A good example has twice the value of good advice. A good example has twice the value of good advice. And he continued, the three most important ways to lead people is by example, and by example. And it's very true. When I was in the workforce and had a time card, I followed comfortably leaders who led from the front, who led with integrity, who led with confidence. A good example has twice the value of good advice. And the three most important ways to lead people is by example, by example, by example. Decades later, Billy Graham, the noted mainstream evangelist and theologian, stated, "The influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. They know and absorb her example and attitudes when it comes to questions of honesty, temperance, kindness, and industry." Basically, parent prints on our children. If you see the children and how they are and how they act, you're seeing the parents. We know that in Proverbs 22:6, you can put that there, I'm not going to go there, but that simply says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parent prints. Parents set the example. They show how and why to live their lives. And they teach without words. They teach without words. I'm going to add another quote here. This is from Brigham Young. He stated that we should never permit ourselves to do anything that we are not willing to see our children do. We should set them an example that we wish them to imitate. I had the opportunity of spending a few hours at the DMV. I think everybody who goes there has those same opportunities. And there in line was a mom who was pushing a pram. Stroller. My year in England, it's a pram. And she was in line, and she was in front of me for at least a half hour. And she was talking on the phone, and she was talking with her neighbor, and she was chit-chatting, and she was taking care of the little girl in the stroller. And I watched the little girl, absolutely amazed at mom, just looking up, watching every move that she made, totally engrossed in what mom was doing. It was wonderful to watch. It was wonderful to see. She watched every move, every word she uttered. She was completely engrossed in what mom was doing. I've seen where a dad had his little infant and was sticking his tongue out at the infant, and the infant tried sticking his tongue out at him, trying to emulate the dad. They learn by observation. Our children learn our attitudes. They learn our actions by imitation. And then when they grow older, they have a little more understanding about things. God has an interest in using examples. The Greek New Testament contains a handful of terms that are rendered in English as the word example. Here we go. The Greek word digma, there'll be a test, from Strong's G1164, denotes that which is shown a specimen of anything. Now, in Jude declares that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah serves as an example or a type of eternal punishment to take place, Jude 1:7. That which is shown or a specimen of anything. We know that the Old Testament was written for our example, for our admonition. All the stories of the Old Testament we should read and take to heart and how to apply them. The term hupodigme literally means to show under, suggesting a model, either for good or bad. In Hebrews 4:11, in the use of this Greek word, which is G5262, for those like wanting to go to the Strong's Concordance, Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Here, it just says to show under, or it's a model, either of good or bad, and it's saying that this example of Israel was a bad example. Don't follow their apostasy in the wilderness. Don't fall away the way Israel did, away from God. The Greek word tupos, which is G5179, denotes a print, image formed by impression. Elders are the examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5:3. We're close enough. 1 Peter 5:3. Talking to the shepherds of the flock, talking to the ministry. The elders who are among you, I exhort, verse 1, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that which will be revealed, that which is coming, shepherd the flock, pastor the flock, take care of the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, caretakers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. One of the driving forces for me has been over the years, I am a helper of your joy. That's my job. I'm not to tell you how to live your life. I am a helper of your joy. And I finished the statement, I am a helper of your joy of salvation. That's my job, my assignment. I don't lord it over you. I can't. It's not my assignment. I'm not to tell you what kind of car to buy, which I've heard decades ago used to be, what color car to buy, whether or not to have chocolate, sugar in the house. Not my job. Not my job. But I'm to be an example. I'm to be a helper of your joy. Then there's hupotuposis. In secular Greek, was an outline or sketch to show by example. In the New Testament, it could be noted a behavioral example or pattern of doctrine. 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. As we read through here, and we have all the stories, and we have the clarity that God gives us through his word, we can read here in verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. There's a pattern of sound words. There are the examples that God has given to us, and then we use those examples to say, I can apply that here, and I can apply that there. We used to hear WWJD, right? You know, people used to wear the little thing around their wrist. What would Jesus do? That makes us the arbiter of that situation. It should be, what did Jesus do? And then follow his example. apply those examples to different situations. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. We are to hold the pattern or form that we have been taught. And then there, the word hupogrammos, G5261, literally means to write under or to have a written copy. This term is used to describe the example of the sinless life of Jesus Christ, who endured suffering on our behalf and was a copy of the Father. When he was asked to show us the Father, his answer was, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." He is an exact copy of the Father. They have the same mindset. They have the same spirit together, and we have been given that spirit. We're close enough. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. Which is kind of an important one, especially when we go through trials and difficulties. "For to this you were called." This is part of our calling. "Because Jesus also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Uh-oh. It kind of does away with health, wealth, and prosperity. Because I've heard preachers preach Christ as health, wealth, and prosperity. He says here, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And it goes on to say, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." That's the example we're to follow. So what is this, what do these terms mean to us, and how do we apply these terms for us? God's set the example and tells us to follow, well, him. Leviticus 19. We can go back to the beginning. Leviticus 19. And we start seeing what is put on us as the body of Christ, as Christ followers, all the way from the New Old Testament. Leviticus 19, verse 2. "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" He set the example, and now we are to follow him. He is holy. We are to also be holy. We are to follow his laws. Jesus Christ also stated in Matthew 5, I won't go there, but he said, "You shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Meaning we are on a long journey to change who we are on the inside so that our actions and our deeds and our words match Jesus Christ. Because we have the mind of Christ in us, Philippians 2:5. We're to have his mind in us. We have God's spirit in us. We are to become like them. We're to become one with Christ and Jesus Christ. Well, we read those in John 17 where he's talking to his disciples. And Christ is in the true Lord's Prayer, speaking to God about the disciples, that they are to be one as Jesus Christ and God are one. If we are to enter and live in the kingdom of God forever, we need to think, we need to act, we need to live according to the kingdom of God now, today. That's our assignment. To do so, we are to follow the examples given to us in God's word. And then we are to be living examples of God in Christ today for all those around us. In the book of Acts, we're shown the influence Jesus had on the apostles. Let's go to Acts 4. Acts 4. In Acts 3, we see a number of examples where Jesus Christ healed, where he's talking to his disciples about a different way of life. There's a different, he's illuminating scripture and preaching to them. But in Acts 4, verse 13, Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, these were men not having gone to the universities, they haven't gone to big classes, they haven't got a degree, they don't have a PhD on the wall, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus Christ. They had been influenced by Jesus. They took knowledge that they had been with Christ and changed their lives. He had been their example. He had been their teacher. And it changed their lives so that they were recognizable as Christ followers. Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, we're close enough. 1 Corinthians 11. I know this scripture has been used earlier, I think. Paul was teaching what he had been taught, and he was setting the example and living the way of life as he'd been taught. He was using words if necessary. Those he taught were to be as Bereans, searching scriptures, proving his example and his words and his actions to be correct. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So two things take place. Paul was setting an example, and they were told to make sure his example followed Christ. It wasn't just to blindly follow the example, but to make sure it was correct. When I first started keeping the Sabbath, it was difficult because I had a mentality about this day. I was 14, and I actually didn't want to keep the Sabbath. And it was a drudgery. It was a hard day. It was a boring day. Changed over time because my perception changed. I understood the Sabbath day. I understood what it meant. I understood that it was given to us by Christ. It is a day made for me and gives me the opportunity of being one with God and Jesus Christ. That example, I needed to learn. I needed to see others. So when we finally started attending church, I got to see how people actually kept the Sabbath. It wasn't not that I didn't go to work or at 14 play basketball. It was that there was study to do, there was enjoyment to do, there was sharing, there was fellowship. And that grew over time so that I don't need to go to the book and say, oh, it's Friday night. It's that day again. What is it? Oh, yeah, Sabbath. Because it's a part of me. And that's what it's supposed to do. We are supposed to make it part of us. I'd like to share this example about being an example. Okay. I want to talk about Henry. I went to college with Henry. We spent years together studying God's Word. He was in the Bay Area. I knew his wife. Know their kids. Henry was working for a very difficult manager, and the manager nobody liked. And everybody talked about the manager behind his back. There was whispers in meetings and such. Everyone engaged in tearing down the manager. Everyone except one. And that was Henry. My friend Henry. One day the manager called Henry into his office, shut the door, pointed Henry to a chair, and then when he sat down behind his desk, he proceeded to pour out his heart to Henry, the only man he could trust in his office. The only man who exhibited a Christian attitude. The only man who never judged him, who never talked behind his back, never whispered against him. He had no one else to talk to. He was having difficulties at home. And Henry was a very receptive ear with a big heart. Henry set such an example that his boss, burdened by the difficulties in his life, was able to approach Henry in trust, seeking words of encouragement, comfort, and advice. Henry was a powerful example. Powerful example. John 13, we will be known. John 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. It doesn't do away with the old commandments. I've heard this argument before. Well, this supersedes the Ten Commandments. No. But it is part of who we are. It's an addition to. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I have given you an example on how to love one another, how to share with one another, how to care for one another, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. By your example, by what you say, by what you do, everyone around you will know that you are my, Jesus Christ, disciples, if you have love one for another. We will be known as Christ followers. We will be known as Christians if we have love one for another. If we show godly love, there'll be plenty of evidence by our example. Peter's counsel to those called before their husbands, you know, couples sometimes, they both don't show up at the same time. They're not called at the same time. 1 Peter 3, there's a wonderful discussion here. 1 Peter 3, and how to deal with one another, because the callings can be different. I've seen it where a husband was called and the wife followed later. I've seen it where the wife was called, the husband followed later. I could see where only one was called and they still loved each other, but the calling was only for one. 1 Peter 3, verse 1, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, the husbands, even though they're not called, they don't care about the Sabbath or the laws of God, they, without a word, might be won by the conduct of their wives, might be won by the example of their wives, might be won by what the wife says and does, because she is a Christ follower. She is following Jesus Christ. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. When the example is one of such nature that they may win over their husbands by their example. We're reminded in Scripture that we are to be lights, illuminating a different way of life. You know, one candlelight in pure darkness can be seen for upwards of 10 miles. A candle can illuminate a room all by itself. We're to illuminate a different way of life, one that leads to eternal life. We're to be different. When I was in high school years ago, I tried to fit in and to be one of the guys. I didn't want to be different. What I was learning made me different, and I had to be different, and I didn't want to be different, and it was hard. And all of a sudden, I became an example for a different way of life. And I became a known quantity even in high school. That was tough. Tough for young people. I want to tell a story. I don't know if it's accurate. I don't know if it's real. I like the story. I would like to think that it's a true story. And I think through the premise, it could be. I just give you that much. The time was old London. Turn of the last century. I don't know if you've ever been in London when the fog hit and everybody had their fireplace going and the smoke and everything just hung in the ground. They called it, not smog, I forget what they call it. They called it vog. No, that's volcanic. Never mind. Anyway, you've got heavy fog mixed with smoke from the chimneys. Nobody could see. Nobody was getting around the city of London. People would get lost. One fellow who was new to the city and lost came upon a young fellow holding a lantern who seemed to know his way around. He stopped him and offered him a shilling, which is roughly $7.31 in today's money, which is a goodly sum. Offered him a shilling if he would lead the man to his hotel. The young man knew the way, accepted the assignment, held his lantern high, and led the way. Confident in his directions, he led him right to the front door of the hotel. When they arrived, the gentleman, greatly relieved, gave him the agreed-upon shilling, as did three other gentlemen who had followed the light to the front door of the hotel. He set the example. He didn't know he was being followed by three others. I like to think that was a true story. I don't know. I've been in London fog. It's nasty. It's nasty. What kind of example do we set for those around us? Is ours an example one might follow to the entrance to the kingdom of God? It's a good question. You know, there is a cutesy little question running around the internet. I like cutesy. I'm taken by cutesy and whimsy and things that make me smile. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I always thought that was an interesting way of putting it. Would my example have enough evidence to convict me of being a Christ follower? Our example, what we say and what we do, is going to have an impact on everyone we come in contact with, everyone we interact with, in every situation. We are called not to hide our life, but to illuminate the way of God, showing God's way works. I love that phrase, God's ways work. God's way works. We would take that statement, there's very few words, to camp. And my wife and I, we did camp for 27 years. We would show on a daily basis God's way worked. We all have examples in our lives that help us or teach us. For years, I served a small community college as a scuba instructor. I became certified, but it took another diver who had already learned the science of underwater environments, learned the technical mechanics of diving, learned how to teach, and then shared his love of water with me so that I, who have a great love of water, would be safe in that hostile environment. I learned through a passionate example to teach by a passionate example. Now, I have this thing. I learned by observation. I could read the words, and the words make sense until I actually have to do something. Then I want to be shown what to do. I think I've told you where I asked my dad to help me learn mechanics. To this day, I know how to spell that word. But he kept all that knowledge to himself. He took me to the utility room, and he had this extra lawnmower engine. He said, take this apart, put it back together. So I did. And then I said, there you go. And he says, good job. And then I said, what do I do with these extra parts? And that was the end of the lesson. I have to be shown. I have to be shown. When I was learning scuba, we had a classroom instruction. There was lessons to be learned, a classroom instruction. But classroom instruction was incomplete without application. To see how to put on the gear correctly, how the gear worked underwater, how to handle gear malfunctions when you're 60 feet down, how to handle emergencies. The mantra was, always watch the instructor. Do what they do and you'll be safe. Put any requirement on the instructor to really be safe, because they were teaching life and death to the students. To do and say the right things to keep the students safe, so that they know what they were doing worked. The same is true in our lives, at home, at work, at school, with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors. What we say and what we do, our example, specifically living God's way of life, can be a powerful tool in helping others figure out what works and what doesn't work in life. We have a biblical requirement to do and say those things that are pleasing to God as examples to others. Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3. Just after Philippians. Colossians 3, let's just begin in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, called out of this world, holy because God is holy, we're to live a holy life, and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You must forgive. There's a whole different way of thinking. There's an example to be. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We're to become perfect as God is perfect. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it live in you richly. Let it be part of you. Let it stay within you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's a joy that we share with one another. There's a fellowship we share with one another. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do and say needs to be before God and Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in word or deed. Having the right word at the right time, sharing the hope that is within us, doing the right thing, and being an example to others. Remember the statement we started with, preach often, use words if necessary. I'll throw us back to the Old Testament, and I could ask the question, how many friends came to Job's defense? Was it three or was it four? Four. There were four friends. Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they tried to help. They didn't understand what Job was going through. They didn't understand what God was doing. They tried to help, but they missed seeing the main issues that were surrounding Job. It was the quiet example of Elihu, the fourth friend. I've given a sermon called The Fourth Friend. When Job and his three friends fell silent, he respectfully pointed Job back to God, highlighting the differences between God and man, and that God was always right. And that was a powerful example. He sat quietly while he listened to his friends go at Job, misunderstanding what Job was going through and why he was going through what he did. And then respectfully, he gave the answer. God is always right. God's way works. God comes first. And those should be the mantras upon which we have our example as well. And when you look at the example, when it was done and Job repented and he had this great understanding of who he was next to God, that The three friends had to sacrifice because they spoke ill of Job and of God. They didn't understand. Elihu didn't have to do a sacrifice, didn't have to do a burnt offering because his answer was correct. Years ago, I was new to the world of festival music. I was asked to be the music director and choir director at the feast. The bottom line to success was always, where's my pianists? And nobody was signing up to be a pianist. I was getting concerned. I was worried. I was almost not quite panicking. I contacted a friend who had done a lot of festival music. He was a music coordinator. And he gave me some profound advice, which isn't just for the music, but lasts me in many areas. This is an example of the right word at the right time. He simply said, these are God's festivals. He knows our needs. This isn't new. This is not a surprise to him. He will provide those he wants to be used. And I realized I will use whomever God sends, and it's not my responsibility to go digging up anyone who wants to serve. I was struck by the simplicity and the truth of the statement. He provided me with an Elihu response. He was the fourth friend when I was kind of spun up. And that impact, I carry that philosophy with me today. God did provide wonderful pianists in his time. At camp, we know that God's way works. We have young people who are, they come to camp, it's their first year. They see God's way in action. Our leaders, our counselors, our team, the adults, they show God's way works on a daily basis. And they experience something very different. They come away with that in life, God comes first. And that's our example to the world around us. God has to come first. Years ago, we were in the planning stages for camp. And we were talking with different staff at the time. Each staff member gave something about camp, what motivated them to take time off to work, to commit to 10 days of serving, to share how camp affected them. I was always asked, you're giving up your vacation time to do what? I said, well, I have no choice. What do you mean you have no choice? I said, these are my kids. I have to go to camp. I sat and listened, and if I'm going to sum up here, some noted that they came to camp to serve because of the impact the camp experience had on them. And what I love to see is staff is from made up of campers who used to be campers, and they know the process. They experienced the zone. I've been to camp. Well, I've been to a church camp, but not ours, and there was no zone. I'll just leave it at that. That wasn't my experience. Some came to serve because of the impact the zone had on their children. They see the difference in their children. They come back with different attitudes. Some went served at camp because of the impact staff members had on them, of shared passion for life and this way of life. Represented by the term, again, the zone. At the end of camp, I missed the zone. I'd end up going to work, and then I'd start hearing politics again, and I start hearing people backstabbing each other, and everybody's pushing, and everybody wants power, prestige, and position. Instantly missed the zone. Some came because of what their kids said and did, because of what the staff said and did. Now, young people would arrive at camp shy, unsure, cautious, and wary, and because of the example, they learned that God's way does work. God's way does work. It's been a while since I've used this example, but I love that it is. We're at Bass Lake. We're off-site. I'm the waterfront supervisor. I'm the lifeguard. Everyone came to my world twice a week, twice during the week. Each visit was a four-hour visit. And I was setting up, I was cleaning up, and I was checking for underwater obstacles, making sure things were safe. And I had a specific hat, kind of a Panama hat that I traveled with. I love that hat, still use it, working in the yard. And It kind of pointed me out from a distance, but I didn't realize how familiar it made me until four ladies stopped by. They asked me about the group, curious as to who we were, and then stated that they remembered us from the previous year and were impressed by the behavior of our kids, by the behavior of the staff, and they didn't know who we were, but they wanted to know. We didn't know that we were being watch, that we were setting an example for the community. We didn't see them. They didn't join us. They observed our example and noted the positive example of staff and campers. You know, people are watching our example as we manage our lives in the world, whether it's work, school, or home, doesn't matter. Preach often. Use words if necessary. Preach often and use words if necessary. It is by our willing example, a spiritual dynamic that illuminates the gospel of the kingdom of God to others. Our example, the actions and words that preach the gospel of God's coming kingdom. Our examples should represent the same examples that should be expected in God's kingdom. As I've often said, we live the kingdom now today. We exemplify the coming kingdom. Now, there's another example, and we talked about this, I think, last time. 1 Corinthians 15. When we talked about conversion is from the inside out. Talked about the example of Carl, who lived a more positive life at home until his family was taken from him in an accident. Then he lived in the world of brain freeze. Child care. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company, examples of those around us. And I shared my embarrassment when my language failed when I was working at the rocket factory. And I was surprised, as was my team. They did not expect me to utter an expletive. Friends can be selfish, you know, me only. Evil company corrupts good habits. In contrast, Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Elihu, that friend who has the right words, who has the right example, who has the right understanding, the right perspective, a friend that seeks to help, to strengthen, to uplift, you know, having the godly example. And while we're there, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. When our companionship is also one on the same journey and we sharpen each other, setting the example for each other, using the right words with each other, we then become a sharper tool in the shed there. We practice working together, practice helping one another, practice uplifting and caring for one another, setting the example, living the standard of God one toward another. Getting close to concluding here, Titus 2, please. Titus 2. Titus 2, verse 7. It would be nice if I was reading Titus 2, not 3. Titus 2, verse 7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, a form of good works, having the example of good works. In all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorrigibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. In all our lives, we are to set the example of Christ in all things. 1 John 2. We're close enough. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Did I say that right? 1 John 2, verse 3. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I know this came in the first message. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself ought to walk just as he walked. Jesus Christ set the example in what to say and what to do, how to act and react to various stimuli, to deal with this world, to deal with authorities in this world. He set the example, and we're to follow that example. There is that adage that says, what you do speaks louder than what you say. Our examples should be consistent with what we say we should do and be. My dad always had the phrase, do as I say, not as I do, because my dad had failings and he wanted me to do things right. And I shouldn't have pointed out the contrast. It wasn't pleasant. I would always point out the inconsistency of what he said, and it was always, do as I say, not as I do. Our examples need to be consistent as Paul's when he stated to those moving from paganism to Christianity, to those needing a guide to show them the way, capital W. We should also be able to say, follow Paul as he follows Christ, to be willing to, as the Bereans, search the scripture to make sure that Paul's example was following Christ. And we can come back to that statement that says, preach often. Use words if necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Well, brethren, as we come to the close of services, if you would please stand once again and take up your hymnals, and please turn to hymn number 108, hymn number 108, A Chosen Generation. And after this, Mr. Joe Cruz will lead us in the closing prayer. Hymn number 108.